Welcome back for another Nerdcast interview. This is Jay, and last week I went and talked with Jeff Britton of Exit 6 Brewery and Pub in Cottleville, Missouri, suburb of St. Louis. It's a small nano brewery, and we talked to Jeff about brewing, how Exit 6 came to be, and his infamous run-in with Starbucks. Hope you enjoy.
All right, Jeff, how'd you get into brewing?
Well, it's kind of a long story. However, I don't know how much detail you actually want. But in a nutshell, you know, like most people around this area, I started drinking at like 16, 17 years old. And I was drinking, you know, American Light Lagers, Bud Light, Budweiser, that kind of stuff. And by the time I turned 21 and was going out to the bars and whatnot, that beer just wasn't doing it for me anymore.
Yeah,
and I happened to be at a bar down on Fifth Street in St. Charles, and they had some new beer on called Schlafly, and it said made in St. Louis. I'll give it a try.
Yeah,
and it kind of changed my world. And all of a sudden, that's all I started drinking was anything I had never heard of. I wanted to try it and see what I liked. And then one day, I'm sitting at home. I remember it very, very vividly. I was watching the Missouri Tigers football game, and my girlfriend at the time came home, and she's like, "Hey, I bought you a present today," and she handed me a homebrew kit.
Oh, nice.
I had no idea that you could even make beer at home. I knew nothing about it. So bought a book, The Joy of Homebrewing by Charlie Papazian.
Oh, yeah.
I read that and started making beer, and it was terrible. Yeah. It was really, really bad. And then, you know, as the internet became more pronounced, I started to read up a lot more on it and kind of perfected it, or, you know, at least got better at it, I guess I should say, and the rest is history.
Start finding recipes and...
Yeah, you know, started off with, you know, I bought a recipe book and I would just try and make them, and then that evolved into writing my own and, you know, trying to figure out, once you know what each ingredient does and what it tastes like, you know, you try and say, okay, this is what my main goal is, this is what I want the beer to taste like, how do I get to that, and kind of work backwards from it.
All right. So how did Exit 6 come about then?
Well, I worked in the IT industry for 10 years prior to opening up the brewery here. And one day I was sitting in traffic on my way to work. I knew I was going to be late because there was a big accident on 40. And I decided right then and there, I said, this is stupid. You know, I've worked here 10 years, hated 9.5 of them. I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the plunge. I'm going to open up my own bar and brewery. What I said to myself in my head was, I need an exit plan. I have to get out of that. So Exit, I knew that was going to be in the name. My daughter was 6 years old when I came up with the name, and Exit 6 it was.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
I got into work that day, and my boss comes up to me. He's like, I need to see you in the conference room in 30 minutes. I'm like, oh, great, here we go. I'm going to get yelled at for being late, blah, blah, blah. And I walk in there, and my entire team was in there. I mean, I worked in this huge multi-billion-dollar multinational company. They're not going to yell at me for being late in front of all these people. And I actually found out that day I was losing my job. It was getting outsourced to the Philippines. They said, you've got 6 months, and then you will be unemployed. I'm like, that's perfect timing. I just decided on my way in here today.
That was a sign.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that couldn't have worked out more perfect for you.
It really did. And luckily enough, that 6 months turned into 18 months of work, because opening a brewery is hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And it took me actually 3 years. I was unemployed for another 18 months after I did get laid off before we actually opened the doors.
Wow. So how many barrels are you brewing today?
A single batch is about a barrel and a half.
Okay.
We'll get around 45 gallons depending on the beer.
Yeah.
Last year we made 105 barrels.
Wow.
So we are the smallest brewery in Missouri, I believe, definitely in St. Louis.
All right. So you make your own small percentage of beer, but then you have a lot of rare stuff on tap. How did you decide to go that route?
As I said, opening a brewery is very hard. Mm-hmm. It's also very expensive.
Yeah.
So I knew that the brewery was going to have to be small. I knew it was going to be a barrel and a half. And there's no way I could keep the doors open making that much beer.
Yeah.
Or that little amount of beer. So I knew I had to sell other stuff. But I didn't want to feed into the corporate greed anymore that is Anheuser-Busch, Miller, yeah. Coors, that kind of stuff. So I refused to carry any of those beers, and I just carry other small brewery guys that were like me one day.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever the case may be, and just trying to make their dream come true. So, you know, excuse me. I wanted to carry good beer. If I won't drink it, I won't sell it. That's been my goal from day one. That's been kind of my tagline. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you have a lot of people that come in and, like, ask where's the Bud Light?
Not as much anymore, but when we first opened, for sure.
Yeah.
We'll get it now maybe once, twice, three times a month.
Yeah.
It used to be 10 times a day. People would come in, sit down, order either a Bud Light or like a gin and tonic, Jägerbomb, stuff like that. We don't sell it.
Yeah.
I don't have an ice machine here. I do have some whiskey, so we just started carrying whiskeys about a year ago.
Wow.
But if you want whiskey, you're either doing a shot or you're drinking it neat.
Yeah.
We don't have mixes. There's no soda. There's no sour mix.
Yeah.
You know, anything like that. So, yeah, people come in and they'll order a gin and tonic or a Bud Light, and I got to tell them, you know, I'm sorry, here's what we do. And sometimes they'll say, all right, well, let me try something new today.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, you know what, this place isn't for me. I'm sorry. And they'll leave. I mean, no hard feelings. I understand that.
Yeah.
I didn't open this bar for everybody.
Yeah.
I opened it for beer people.
Yeah, and see, that's been the problem. I've tried to get happy hours here from work, and people are like, well, do they have mixed drinks? No. Bud Light? No.
Yeah, I'm sure that I could expand my business, you know. I mean, like right now, we're pretty slow right now, especially for 2 days before Thanksgiving. You know, and I probably could have a lot more people in here if I sold Bud Light or if I had a full bar.
Yeah.
It's just not the atmosphere where I'm trying for here.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to make a bar that I wanted to go to. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my goal because there wasn't any place. Every bar that I went to, I could always find a fault in.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure everybody can find a fault with this place, but I do what I can. You know, I tried to create the bar and the atmosphere that I want. I don't want the frat boy douchebags in here.
Yeah.
You know, pounding Jägerbombs, getting shit-faced and puking all over my floor, starting fights. I've been open 5.5 years. I've never had a fight here.
Wow.
Not one. You know, that's the atmosphere that I want. I want it to be a safe place. You come in, sit down, chill out, have a beer, watch the Blues, the Cardinals, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And just enjoy yourself.
Yeah. So is that the same reason why you don't have food then, too?
No, I don't have food for two reasons. Again, going back to the whole, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
I had enough money for a brewery or a kitchen.
Yeah.
I like beer better. Also, as you can see, this place is pretty small.
Yeah.
I don't have room for a kitchen.
Yeah.
So
people bring food in a lot when they get here?
Yeah, almost all the time. I mean, we've got a lot of regulars that come in on specific days. Like, oh, it's Friday, Jim and Vicky are going to be here, and they're going to bring their dinner with them. And they come in, they have three beers each, and they go home.
Yeah.
All the time.
That's awesome. So I know you've probably talked about this a million times, but what happens with Starbucks?
I knew that was going to be a question.
This is the story I was waiting for. This is what I got told.
I mentioned this to Steve earlier. I told him he'd get a kick out of it.
When this first happened, it happened New Year's Eve 2013, going into 14 that time. And for literally, I'll bet you, 18 months, I did not go 24-hour period without hearing the word Starbucks. It was unbelievable how much this shit blew up. And over something so trivial. I mean, it blows my mind every day. I mean, here I am 3 years later, almost to the day, and you're asking me about it.
Yeah.
People are, you know, I threw that shit on Facebook because I figured, hey, you know, I've got 10 or 12 customers that'll probably get a laugh out of it. And the next thing I know, I'm getting messages from, I think the last count was 18 different countries and 38 different states. I was on, oh, God, 4 or 5 TV shows. I did more radio interviews than I could even count, all because of me being a smartass.
Yeah,
nice.
Now, for those of you who haven't heard the story, if you want to read it in a lot of detail, you can go just Google Exit 6. I think to this day we're the third link down if you Google Exit 6 is the story about Starbucks.
Yeah, it still is.
I was going to look it up on my phone. I was like, yeah.
I'll give you the abridged version, but the best thing to do is actually read my letter. It is kind of funny. So.
Oh, it's hilarious.
So we've got one of our flagship beers for a long time, about the first 4.5 years we were open, was our best seller, actually. It's called the Vanilla Cream Ale. Light, yellow, fizzy, kind of sweet. A lot of people say it reminds them of cream soda. It's been very, very popular. It's kind of put us on the map.
It's a good beer.
Thank you. So we took that beer, filled up a glass about three quarters of the way, and topped off the last of it with another beer made by Founders called Breakfast Stout. It's a chocolate coffee stout.
Yeah.
When you blend the two together, it has a very, very remarkably similar flavor to a coffee drink that Starbucks makes that begins with an F and rhymes with cappuccino. I can't say the word for fear of further legal repercussions, but... So a good friend of mine. Are you guys familiar with Untappd?
Yeah.
The app Untappd? Okay.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, I gave her a glass. I'm like, you got to try this. This is awesome. She goes, wow, this tastes just like a Frappuccino. So, yeah, that's what I thought. So she creates a beer on Untappd called Frappuccino and checks into it. I checked into it. My brewer, Justin, checked into it. That was it. All right. A year later, I get a letter from Starbucks' lawyer. All right. And it was 12 pages long, I believe. Saying you are not allowed to make a beer called Frappuccino. We're going to sue you. You've got 2 weeks to remove it from the shelves and change the name and everything else, and we expect a letter in writing immediately. Well, as I said, you know, we never made a beer called Frappuccino, and I sure as hell aren't distributing it anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you can get my beer here. That's it, and it's only on tap. So I got drunk and decided to write him a letter back. And I did, and it was full of sarcasm and hyperbole, and like I said, just me being a typical smartass. And then I sent him a $6 check, stating that was the amount of profit that I made from the three check-ins that were untapped. Like I said, I thought a couple of people would enjoy it, so I posted it on Facebook with both the lawyer's letter and my response, and next thing I know, it just blew up. It went everywhere.
Yeah, it was on, like, KMOV and all the local channels.
Just so everybody knows, if you look up Google on your phone, first you get the directions and where it's at, and then the popular times, the website, then the Yelp, and then right there it says, Exit Tick Pub and Brewer writes open letter, sends $6 checks to Starbucks after, you know, so I'm like...
If I remember correctly, that link there is Daily Mail.
This one's beerpulse.com.
Oh, okay.
But either way,
Beerpulse is actually the site that released it. They were the ones that broke the story, if you will.
Yeah.
Daily Mail was the one that was the first link. Now, dailymail.uk is basically England's version of CNN.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they ran the story. And in fact, right now, the beer that I'm drinking, this is Barrel Age Redneck Prince William.
Yeah.
In the comments on the Daily Mail article, some British guy said that I look like a redneck version of Prince William, which I thought was one of the greatest things I had ever heard. I said, I'm going to name a beer that. So the next beer I made was named Redneck Prince William.
That's awesome.
Oh, so, that's good.
But yeah, read the letter. It's pretty funny. There's spelling errors on there on purpose. I refer to the owner of Starbucks as Mr. Bucks throughout the whole thing. And, so actually, I said... In my letter, kind of what I just said a minute ago, that I, for fear of further legal repercussions, I will not use the word Frappuccino anymore. I will simply refer to it as the F word. And up until yesterday, you could still get an F word here because I had Founders Breakfast out on tap, and there was a sign up on the wall that says, you know, order the F word. It's been very popular. Like I said, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
So how much business did you see from that letter?
New Year's Eve of 2013, like I said, was the day that it actually went viral, and you could not find a seat in this place for 8 hours, 6 hours.
Holy shit.
On New Year's Eve.
Wow.
We were three deep at the bar, standing room only. My phone just continued to ring. I mean, like, Exit 6 Brewery. Oh, yeah, thank you for your words of support. Click. Ring. Exit 6 Brewery. Oh, yeah, Starbucks, that was us. Thanks. Click. Ring. I mean,
yeah,
it was insane. And yeah, it lasted for a good 6 months. That, I mean, there was a sizable spike in our business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, like I said, even to this day, I still hear about it almost daily.
Yeah.
I had some guy in from Scotland just last night sitting at the bar and asked me about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy how something like that will just stick.
Yeah. The power of the internet, man. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But that's good for you. I mean, you got a lot of people in because of it. So.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Who knows
what
where we'd be if that had never happened.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, though, my biggest regret on that is that I didn't start a GoFundMe that day.
Oh, yeah.
who knows where I'd be today. You know, I'd have my 15-barrel system, you know, rocking, distributing beer across the Midwest if I had started that, because people were I got about $150 cash slash checks mailed to me from across the globe. People just, hey, do me a favor, the next guy that comes in, buy him an F-word on me, and they include $6. They'd, you know, I got a check for our $20 saying, hey, put this towards your legal expenses and stuff like that. I mean, people were awesome, man.
That's good. Very cool.
Yeah.
So you said you have a brewer now?
Yeah.
So he does all the brewing, or do you still dabble?
I do very little brewing anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, luckily, you know, Justin, he started here as an intern about 4 years ago, mm-hmm. When I was brewing, and I had another guy that was helping me out at that time too. And he's like, he was a home brewer. He wanted to learn more about brewing.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where I could finally hire somebody, and he was first in line. He's put in his time. So
yeah.
I write the recipes. He does all the brewing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you typically keep on tap of your stuff?
We always have 5 beers. Well, I say always. One of the problems that we have with being this small is that I sell beer faster than I can make it.
Yeah.
The demand is there, which is a great problem to have, but still a problem. But I try to keep 5 beers on tap at all times. The vanilla cream that I'd mentioned earlier, Ryan's Red, which is what you're drinking now,
yeah,
and our IPA, our flagships. We try to keep those on 365 days a year.
I'm a big fan of all 3. This was the first time I had the red. Last time it tapped out while I was here.
See, it happens.
Is this the red? Got the bourbon barrel at the end of it? Taste
no.
To it? Oh, that's not it? Okay.
No, that's the bourbon barrel Prince Redneck.
Oh, okay, that one. All right.
Yeah. The red's actually my favorite beer that we make.
Yeah.
I love that beer. Put a lot of work into that beer as a home brewer. If any of you guys are home brewers, you know what it's like making the same beer twice. I had to make that beer 15 times in a row before I finally found exactly, because I wanted it to look a certain way, taste a certain way, and smell a certain way.
It's a pain trying to get it to come out the same way twice.
Really is. And as a professional brewery, a commercial brewery, I'm totally blanking on the word. Consistency is key. All right, that is the absolute most important thing as a professional brewery.
Yeah.
So being able to reproduce that beer, to have it look, taste, and smell the exact same way every single time, it's very difficult, actually. I always say that, as much as I hate, Budweiser products, they are the best brewery in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And that is hands down. They're doing one of the most difficult styles to make. And if I drink one right here in St. Louis or in Kentucky or in Arizona or in Germany, it's going to taste exactly the same.
Yeah.
Every single time. And that's amazing to me.
Yeah. So what does it set you back when a batch doesn't come out right? Because I know when I do it, it's 5 gallons, it's 50 bottles.
Right.
It's nothing.
Yeah. For me, it's 50 gallons,
yeah.
So 250 bottles, or no, 2,500 bottles, if you will.
Jesus.
Yeah, it can be, but again, because we are so small, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, between Justin and myself, Justin's my brewer, we know what we're doing here.
Yeah.
We've only had to dump maybe 4 batches in the almost 6 years we've been open, so it's not terrible, but when it does happen, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
And it's good because it gives us a lot more freedom.
Yeah.
We can try and experiment with different beers and different flavors, and if it's not good, I dump it out, so be it.
Yeah.
I'm not going out of business because I have to dump one batch of beer.
Yeah.
Whereas a brewery like Urban Chestnut or Four Hands, one of the big guys around here, it's costing them thousands and thousands of dollars if they have to dump a beer. I mean, it's cost me a couple $100. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
So,
mentioning other breweries in the area, what else do you like to drink besides your own stuff?
The best brewery in St. Louis is Second Shift,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned. I think Kreider, who's the owner there, does very little wrong. I love Second Shift beers.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just got Mike Sweeney to work for them, so that's going to help too.
Yep, yep. Yeah, Mike's a good guy. He's kind of running the show there now. Kreider's still doing all the brewing. Libby's running the business, and then Mike's running the bar and PR kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I talked to him right at Craft Beer Week.
Yeah.
So do you think with them having a bigger brewery, it's going to change anything for them?
I hope not. I hope it changes for the better. They're not going any bigger.
Right.
They're moving the exact same brewing equipment that they've always had.
Okay.
Which is good. So,
yeah.
I mean, Kreider won't have to, relearn his equipment. All the recipes are dialed in for his equipment and stuff like that. What this should do is, one, he's putting in a bar. so he can sell beer directly to the consumer. Profits are a lot better like that.
Yeah.
You know, than it is selling it all wholesale. So if he can start making some more money, hopefully he can grow bigger and start making more beers and more fun stuff and sending it across the country. And
you know,
it's only a good thing for him and for all of us, basically.
What's your favorite one they put out?
Katie.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Yep.
Steve probably never.
I don't know.
Katie is my go-to beer.
Yeah.
You know, I can drink that all day, every day. It's light, it's crisp, it's refreshing, it's tart, it's awesome.
I have a buddy that has a keg system in his house, and he had it on draft.
Yeah.
So if I ever did that, yeah, that would be at my house.
Mm-hmm.
What other breweries in St. Louis? I know like Perennial's big with beer snobs and Side Project.
Yeah, I love sour beers.
Yeah.
Sours were the last style of beer that I really came around to and started to like.
Yeah.
And now it's almost all I drink.
Yeah.
It's like the more sour, the better. I can't get enough of them.
I've always been a very hoppy person and gone for IPAs, but sours and saisons always.
That was kind of my progression too. I started off with hops, then I went to barrel aged, and now it's sours.
Yeah. You know?
And that's like I said, it's almost all I drink now are sour ales. Civil Life is one of my favorite local breweries. I think they do. I mean, everything is plain and basic and super well done.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't make a mistake. There are no flaws in any of Civil Life's beers.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
I've never had a bad beer from there.
Yep.
So I know you have your family adoption going on.
Yeah.
And you're going to shave your beard?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not looking forward to Saturday, man. I am not, because this will be the first time in 21, 22 years that I will see my chin.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I have had a beard or a goatee for over 20 years.
Your beard game is strong right now.
It is right now, yeah. Yeah, I haven't touched it in about 6 or 8 months.
Hey, you better make sure you take a picture for before or after.
Yeah.
We need to do that for sure.
They're all over my Facebook page right now. Yeah, I've got plenty, believe me. My girlfriend's not real happy that I'm losing it either, so she's been documenting it, if you will. Yeah. But, yeah, this is the fourth year now that we've done this. We adopt three families of six, you know, because we're exit six.
Yeah.
Get it?
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Local families that can't provide for themselves for Christmas. So we adopt them. We buy mom and four or five kids, or mom, dad, and four kids. Mm-hmm. Everything they want for Christmas. The Bruins just scored. Damn it. Sorry.
No.
It was Backus, what? Too.
Are you kidding me? I just saw that.
Backus.
I just heard Kiss. And I'm like, oh, you shitting me.
Fucking Backus.
Jesus.
Okay.
We go through this when we have games on in the background.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fantasy football's rough.
Yeah.
Don't record. That's where we're like, don't record on a Sunday anymore, for Christ's sakes.
So, yeah, we buy the kids and the adults everything that they want for Christmas. We get them Christmas dinner. We buy them a gift card for groceries, and we help with your utilities. And we've done it, like I said, every year. So if we raise $4,000 by Saturday, which we're at about $3,200 right now, I believe, then I shave my beard. And we spend all the money on these local families.
It's going to pay me to do it because, I mean, I keep my beard almost year-round now, but I'm probably going to chip in for it.
Yeah? All right. Cool. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So... I like to ask everyone I have on, what is your go-to beer?
Katie. Yeah. That's it. I mean, if I can get my hands on it. I don't know that I really have a go-to beer because I work in a bar that's got 150 beers
you
know, and 26 on tap at all times. I get palate exhaustion you know, if I keep drinking the same thing. So very rarely will I have even two of the same beer in a night, much less, you know, in a week. You know, so if I had to say one, I'd give it to Katie. Otherwise, it's whatever sour I have on tap.
Yeah.
I've been drinking, like right now, we've got Unané Pêche on. Unané is a brewery out of Chicago. They do all sour beers. Just came to Missouri last Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, so they are brand new to the area and really making good stuff. I've been drinking a lot of that. And Uinta's sour peach IPA.
Okay.
Or sour apricot IPA. It's really, really good.
So how do you get into something when it just gets released in Missouri on Friday?
What do you mean get into it?
Like do you have salespeople lined up for you? Or okay.
Yeah. Anytime somebody new, if I don't know that they're coming, my sales reps will usually come and tell me, like, hey, we're getting this new brewery. I don't know if you ever heard of them. Most of the time I say yes, because they got to be fairly big to, you know, want to come to Missouri.
Yeah.
Unané was not one. I had never heard of them. And he showed up with a sample of one of their beers, a pineapple sour. I tried it, and it was lights out.
Oh, wow.
Really, really good. He's like, unfortunately, this one's only in bottles, but we do have three other ones in draft. I said, I'll take a keg of each. We'll try it out.
Wow.
You know, just on the quality of that one pineapple, I figure I'll try the rest of them and see how it is. And
yeah.
So far, I've not been disappointed. Really good stuff.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to try those.
Yeah. If you like sours, man, definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've only been out for a couple days. Has the response been good on them? I mean,
so far, yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of that brewery. I tend to follow breweries as much as I can. So.
Yeah, me too, and I'd never heard of them either until my rep came in and said, yeah, we're getting Unané. And what the fuck is Unané?
Yeah.
You know, it sounded like he was making shit up, you know?
So what else is on tap right now that you recommend then?
Oh, God, I don't know. Let me turn around and look. The Uinta Sour Apricot IPA and the Unané are both, that's what I've been drinking. What else do we have right now? Shit, I can't even see. Oh, Avery's Pumpkin. It's a 2014 Avery Pumpkin.
Okay.
It's a 17.5% pumpkin, bourbon barrel aged pumpkin stout.
Tony.
Awesome.
Toner, you'd probably have a boner right now, falling dead right now with that. I swear to God. Art Tony from here, the guy, my brother loves that shit. He's
really?
Yeah. You say anything, you say pumpkin, he's, you know, he's like, oh, let me go change my pants. I'll go get some beer, you know?
Yeah. I've been sitting on this one, like I said, for 2 years. You know, I'll buy these kegs and,
wow,
you know that they can benefit with age. And so I've got a special room. I throw kegs in and I forget I own them.
Oh, wow.
And so I've been sitting on this one for 2 years. So that 17, almost 18% alcohol burn doesn't exist. It's not there.
Yeah.
The spices from the pumpkin have mellowed out very much. It's lights out.
Oh, wow.
It's so good. We also got Oscar Blues 1050 on, so if you like stouts, big, thick, chewy, awesome.
What else? I can't even see what else we got up there.
Odell's Isolation was really good this year, which surprised me. I don't really normally like winter ales.
Yeah.
It's got a nice hop character to it. It's really good.
Hmm. All right. So if people want to check out the brewery online, where do they go?
Exit6brewery.com. The number, not the word.
And Twitter?
Exit 6 Brewery.
All right.
6 the number, not the word.
Easy enough.
I don't tweet a whole lot.
You don't?
It doesn't do me a whole lot. No. Okay, so I got the TV that's got the tap list on it.
Yeah.
When I change that, it sends out an update. It changes my website, my Facebook, and Twitter for me.
Oh, wow.
All
right. Nice.
That's about all you're going to get from me on Twitter is what's on tap. If you ever want to know, you can always check Twitter, and it tells you instantly whenever I change something.
Yeah.
But no, I do a lot of shit on Facebook. Facebook's mostly mine.
Okay. You
know, that's facebook.com/Exit6 spelled out, I believe.
Okay.
All spelled out.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Cool. Well, it's been great talking to you.
Oh, right on, man.
Yeah.
Cool. My pleasure.
All right. Steve?
I'm good.
Yeah, all right.
I was going to ask a little bit of expand
go ahead.
Something, but no.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. All you've done over there is talk about your brother's boner. So I mean,
No, because that's how he is. He's like, oh, pumpkin beer. Oh, holiday season's here. Fall, you know, that's how he is. But
you're actually making the jack-off motion under the table.
I am.
That guy he really
does.
Likes
what he
pumpkin
does.
Beers.
That's, yeah. Yeah. That's right. How bad it is. Jay can contest to that. So.
Yeah, we also say he likes guys, too. So
you should come up and meet Aaron, then. Aaron, our Mexican bartender. He's...
Tell her
stuff
here.
That's really funny. But only if he heard it, because he's not gay or Mexican. But
so. Yeah, if Tony could get off Instagram putting dog pictures on. But anyways, that's another stuff. My question is that you were talking about with different breweries you have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see it when people come in? They might other breweries send people, or do the guys around here have the cojones to come around and be like, "Hey, I'm from so and so. I want to." See what you got. I mean, is it something that way, or do
you
they,
mean other local breweries?
Yeah.
It's not like that at all, man.
Oh, really?
The brewing community in St. Louis is very, very tight knit. We are all very good friends.
Okay.
I mean, no one has to have the cojones to come in here. They want to. They come in here because they want to, and they want to come in and get a beer, and they know that if they're in the area, this is the only place to go to get a good one.
Well, I'm just thinking of like the big, just like. Fucking Miller, AB, all that, you know, all that big stuff. But I mean, you know how they, because then they're not gonna. Oh well, we'll send so and so out to just say he's gonna be the you know, nobody from somewhere. You won't even know him from anybody, and he'll come in here and, oh, I report on this. That's where I was trying to get the, like, the feel for it, because mm-hmm. now that I know, it's like, yeah, if from Schlafly to you to anybody else around here, be like, yeah, go try this out. They've got this beer that's amazing. Right. So, yeah. No, that's good.
No, I mean, the Budweiser guys, their sales reps still come in here because Budweiser's starting to buy up all these other craft breweries. You know, they just bought Breckenridge, Elysian, Ten Barrel, Goose Island, all of yep. those other breweries. So they're still trying to get in here. And, yeah, I'd be lying if I said my sales rep never tried to get me to bring in Budweiser or Shock Top. But they know. They know I'm not going to. So they come in, they try and sell me Goose Island and, like I said, Elysian and stuff like that. You know, and I know a lot of bars that are like mine are tell those guys to go fuck themselves. And like, hey, no, you're AB. I don't want you in here. I disagree with that. I mean, I don't sell their lagers because I don't like the beer, and I try not to support them because of what they do to little breweries like me. Not so much like me, more like Schlafly, which is far from a little brewery anymore. Yeah. But, you know, they have a lot of real dirty, sneaky, backhanded tricks that they pull because they've got more money than God.
Yeah.
And anything that they can do to keep Schlafly off the shelves or off the coolers or whatever they can. And I think that's bullshit. I hate it, hate it, hate it. However, I love good beer. And Goose Island makes some good beer.
Yeah.
And Elysian makes some good beer. And that's what I want to do here. I'm trying to celebrate beer. You know, so if it's good, I'm going to carry it. That's just it. Budweiser's not good to me. You know, Bud Light is not good to me. So I'm not going to carry this because there's no flavor to them.
Yeah.
There's a time and place for everything. I get that. I've got PBR here. You know, even the American Light Lager has its time and place. You know, I get done cutting the grass or running a marathon. Look at me. I'm not running 26 feet, much less 26 miles. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The last thing I want is a barrel-aged stout. You know,
yeah.
It's the light lagers. You know, they've got their time and place, and that's fine. Here's not that time nor that place. So,
no, I agree. I agree. No, I'm just trying to get the feel for it because I see when Jay will post something about, hey, this brewery or that, and we've tried, when we go try different things and we bring them into the podcast, and it's like, yeah, this one has this, and we try it, it's like, okay, yeah, this one's not so good. It's just like Rod's Cream Ale from back of what it's like. I'm like, whew, that was, Jay wasn't there for that one, but man, we just like, it's like, yeah, it's, that was not your best brew there, buddy. So.
Sure.
I think you guys had more fun with the name than
well,
the
Matt
beer.
Did. Matt had more fun with the name, but no, it was, it's that point. It's, you have so many beers on tap, but like I said, I went from the Urban Chestnut, that sour, I don't mm-hmm. know what it's called. I can't remember.
Kudam.
Yeah, Kudam. But then I have the one with the barrel taste to it, and it's bourbon there. It's very good.
Yeah.
You get that very initial taste, and then afterward, it's just very smooth at the end.
A lot of breweries, you know, local. I'm strictly speaking to St. Louis breweries right now. You know, like I said, we're friends, you know, and pretty good friends. If you've got that kind of relationship, I've gone up to Kreider, the owner of Second Shift. Great friend of mine. I absolutely love the guy. They make one of their flagship beers is Hibiscus Wit. It's awful. I hate it. And I've got no problem telling Kreider that. And he understands. He's like, yeah, not every beer is for everybody. He's came up. I was pouring a batch of our IPA one time at a festival, and he came up to me and goes, have you tried your IPA today? No. He goes, it tastes like shit. What do you mean? He's like, try that keg. And I tasted it, and sure enough, it was not good. We had a keg go bad. He's like, you need to pull that. It's not good. You know, we're friends, and friends, part of being friends is being honest with each other. So
oh, yeah?
He's got no problem telling me if my beer is not good, and I'll do the same thing for him. And I'm not offended by it at all. You know, and neither is he. You know, we're trying to help each other out.
Yeah.
Because if somebody tastes Hibiscus Wit and that's their first taste of Second Shift and they don't like it, then they may not try anything else from Second Shift.
True.
You know? And same thing with me. You know, someone came up, was drinking that IPA, went over to his booth and said it sucked, and he doesn't want them to have that bad opinion of me, you know, because he knows me. He likes me. He likes my beer. So he comes up to me. He's like, hey, heads up. This isn't good, and it makes us all look bad. You know, and that's not what anybody wants. We are rooting. I am not in competition with Second Shift, nor am I in competition with Schlafly or Civil Life or Four Hands. It's all of us against them.
That's the approach, or that's the feeling that I got. Is everybody's out there? It's like, hey, let's go because X and Y are pretty much telling everybody, oh, like, hey, yeah, why don't you give us your stuff? And it's like, that small business approach, I like that more because it's more down to earth people. You don't have a bunch of stiffs walking around like, yeah, here, our beer's the best. No, fuck, it's not.
Right.
So you got.
Right.
They've got a lot of flavors, and a lot of people like choice. They don't want some one thing just shoved in their face all day long.
The beer pie is huge, and Kraft owns a very small piece of it, about 1%. And so all that we are trying to do, and we being the craft beer industry, is trying to get to 2%. If we get 2 out of 100, we're in good shape. So if that means that second shift needs a bigger piece or four hands needs a bigger piece, then I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen, and they're going to do everything they can to make it happen for me. Like I said, against them. It's not, we don't cannibalize each other, and that's great. I love this industry. It's so fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, they do a lot of great stuff together, like the Craft Beer Week and festivals and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at my handles right now. I've got, what, 4 from St. Louis on? I don't know if that's right or not. I've just made up a number. But I know I've got a couple.
Yeah.
You know, if we were trying to cannibalize each other, I certainly wouldn't be carrying other St. Louis breweries.
Yep.
No, you know, they make great beer. Yeah. Why not sell it?
That's good stuff.
So I do have another question for you.
Yeah, shoot, man.
You're pretty unique here in the St. Charles area with all the taps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see a dip when 109 Tap House opened kind of down Highway Inn from you?
For about an hour.
They've got a lot, but the quality isn't the same as here.
Quantity does not equal quality.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sure, they've got... from what I've been told, they don't even have the quality or the quantity anymore. That like half the handles are empty and whatnot. They're not doing a very good job of keeping their stock, you know, in place. I don't know. I've been there a couple of times. It's fine. I'm never going to badmouth another business, another small business, especially not one that's local.
Yeah,
they're great. From what I understand,
I've enjoyed their selection. But if you're looking for something new, it's hard to find something because it's all the same stuff.
Right, right.
They got good food, though.
I've never eaten there.
So. I've eaten there a couple times.
Well, next time you go there, get the food to go. Bring it here.
I will probably do that.
Have a good beer. eat your good food.
I could very easily do that.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, we can do that.
All right. So anything big coming up on tap soon?
Let's see. Our next beer. Okay, so now I got to go into a whole other story here. We do a cookie series.
Okay.
All right. So the next beer that we're releasing is called Girl Stout Cookie. It's a chocolate peppermint stout modeled after the Thin Mint, if you will.
Oh.
We also do one of our most popular seasonal beers that we put out right around Christmas or New Year's every year is our iced oatmeal cookie. Tastes like one of those big, flat, crunchy iced oatmeal cookies with the white ice.
Yeah.
Like someone shot a load on them.
Yeah.
Well...
you got to pay extra for that here.
No, you don't. Just ask me.
Nice.
So we've got a beer that tastes exactly like those cookies.
Yeah.
Well, 2 weeks ago, we just brewed a brand new one in the series. We've never made it before. I have no idea how it's going to turn out. Hopefully good. We're calling it Tony Rocky Horror, which if you have ever seen the movie Pulp Fiction, it would make perfect sense. But it's modeled after a Samoa.
Yeah.
Learning my lesson from the Starbucks thing, I figured better not call it Samoa because I don't know if that word is trademarked or not. So I went with Tony Rocky Horror after Pulp Fiction. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie or have any idea what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
When Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta are walking around talking about rubbing feet and shit like that.
Yeah.
All right. They mention a guy named Tony Rocky Horror. And I think John Travolta says, isn't that the fat guy? He goes, I wouldn't call the guy fat. What can he do? He's Samoan. So...
We could call Toner that a little bit. Start calling him Tony Rocky Horror.
Ooh, we might have to.
We might have to now.
Yeah.
Change his fucking name. Only reason I'm saying this is because he's my brother. I don't give a shit.
Is he the guy jacking off over pumpkin beer?
Yes. That's correct. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You find a pumpkin somewhere straight and it's got a weird hold in it.
Yeah.
Tony probably just nailed it. So
fair enough. Yeah.
There might be peanut butter in it too from the dogs.
That's good.
So, yeah, our next beer is Girl Stout Cookie, and after that's Tony Rocky Horror.
Nice.
I'm going to have to come get that now. I'm going to have to.
Girl Stout will be on hopefully by this weekend.
All right.
Hopefully.
So they can get glasses or can they get crowlers of it?
Both.
Nice.
We'll fill a crowler of anything.
Okay.
Nice.
which is, for those of you who don't know what crawlers are, it's a can that we fill up from the faucet and then seam it right there on the spot.
Oh, nice.
Lasts forever. No carbonation loss. No light can get in there. It's great.
Nice. Yeah, I'll be walking out with one or two tonight probably.
I might have to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going out of town.
You get to talk about it on your next show. I'm going to talk about all my beers. And
We'll do that.
Two weeks away.
Yeah.
If nobody...
Do that if you like them, though. If you don't like them, don't bring it up again. It's all right.
Well, we're drinking Bud Light for some reason.
Yeah. No, I just fucked myself. You guys are going to go home, drink those beers, forget all about it for your show, never bring it up again. Everyone's going to say, oh, man, that brewery sucks.
Well, yeah, Bud Light's beer advocacy score, 46. Oh, God.
No, we'll definitely have some on future shows.
Cool.
I'm there. Yeah. Especially if you get that, because I'm going out of town for Thanksgiving, but I'm going to get some of that stuff for Christmas because we get it before the podcast on the 10th of December. That's what our beer sponsor should be.
All right.
I'm going to do that.
Unofficial beer sponsor.
Right on. Works for me.
You've made it.
Yeah. Yay.
We finally done it. Yes.
All right. Well, it was great talking to you.
Well, thank you, man.
Thanks for having us here.
Yes, sir.
My pleasure. Come on back anytime, man. All right. Happy to talk to you.
All right. Cool.
All right. Go
Thanks.
On. You bet.
All right. That's Jay. I'm Sound Guy Steve.
See you.
And there you have it. Jeff is an awesome guy to talk to. Check out Exit 6. They typically have 5 beers on tap. Usually all of them are really good. So go check them out. For more podcasts from us, check out nerdcast.com. It's NYRDCAST. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram. It's @nerdcast. Again, it's NYRDCAST. We're on Facebook also and YouTube. Just search for us. We'll be back in a few weeks with an actual real recording. Most of us will be together for it. Should be a good time. For other podcasts that are not us, check out ijov.net. That's the Inside Joke Outside Voice Network. You'll find Marcus with Deadpan Fury and the Something Something Guys and a few other pretty good podcasts. So definitely check them out. This week's music is from Taking Back Sunday, and this is their song, Great Romances of the 20th Century.
A beautiful girl can make you dizzy, like you've been drinking Jack and Coke all morning. She can make you feel high, full of single greatest commodity known to man. Promise. The promise of a better day. The promise of a greater hope. The promise of a new tomorrow. This particular aura can be found in the gait of a beautiful girl, in her smile and in her soul, in the way she makes every rotten little thing about life seem like it's gonna be okay. Yeah.